I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening, first of all, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. We'll commence to read at verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then let us turn to one verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. When we think of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we think of the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and endured for the salvation of our soul, truly our hearts ought to be moved. When we remember Calvary and we think of our blessed Savior who died in our guilty room instead, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Closing moments of this meeting tonight, there are three things that I want us to think about. First of all, I want us to think about the place. Then the second thing is I want to think about is the pain. And lastly, I want us to think about the purchase. If you look there in verse number 33, it says, Matthew chapter 27. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. Or the place called Calvary. It was a place that whenever you looked at it, it resembled the skull of a dead person. It was a place of crucifixion. It was a place, literally, that was covered with skulls of dead people. Because here at this place, thousands of people, thousands of criminals, thousands of those who were looked upon as the enemies of the Roman authorities were put to death. In actual fact, so cruel were the Romans in the putting of a person to death that they were willing, even after the person to die, the practice which allowed the dead bodies to rot upon the cross. It was a place that was well known. It was a place that was defiled by the Romans. And yet this place had a place of special significance to the Jews. Because you see, the place called Calvary is on the mountain range where indeed that Abraham took his son and was willing to offer him there as a sacrifice upon the altar. It was there also on that same mountain range where the temple was built and where there was the holy place and the holiest of holies. And therefore it has a special significance to the Jewish people. In Genesis chapter 22, we have that wonderful picture, that wonderful prophecy of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in that act of Abraham there as he took a son. And yet whenever we think about that, we are reminded that God on Calvary offered his son and gave his son willingly to die as our substitute. Do you remember the question that Isaac asked his father? He said, "Father, I see we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where is the lamb?" And what did God say, or what did Abraham say in reply? "God will provide himself the lamb." And in reality, that was what happened here upon this mountain, or upon this little hill, upon this place of a skull. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, there was the Lamb of God. And God provided himself, God's Son, the Lamb. In actual fact, in that book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 14, there are words of significance. It says, "In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen." And it was. The prophecy was fulfilled upon that mount, and there they crucified him. The place, Calvary. Then we come to the pain. Look at verse 35. "And they crucified him." Now, whenever we think of those short words, friend, the words are so short, but have you ever thought about the agony that's behind those words? And the suffering and the pain. There they crucified him. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to that hill of Calvary, he already had endured much. He endured at least 3 trials. He had been beaten by the Jews. The Roman soldiers had taken him. They had put him against the whipping post and they had scourged the Lord Jesus Christ. The agony that he suffered. They took him and put him in a prison, in a pit. And I'll never forget whenever we were in Caiaphas's palace and we stood there and we went down into the pit because there's a way in. They let him down when the Savior was there. There wasn't the steps that there are today. And there the Savior, after they had whipped him, They let him down into that pit and the blackness and the darkness and the filth of that pit to spend the night waiting for the crucifixion. I'll never forget when we sat or we sang in that place and we looked up and we saw people looking down at us. And then as we came out, we were applauded. And the thought came into my heart. When Christ came out of that pit, he wasn't applauded. He was crucified. They took the robes off him, his garments off him, and they put on him a purple robe, identifying and pretending that this was a special robe for a king. And in actual fact, that all it was a discarded military coat. It was faded. But it was a mockery. But of course, a king has got a crown. And so they took the crown of thorns. And as they plaited the crown of thorns together and they placed it upon the Savior's brow and they pushed it down upon the Savior's head, there was his crown. And of course, the king has got a scepter. And they took a reed and they put in the hand of Jesus Christ the reed as a scepter. And then they bowed down. Hail, King of the Jews. But what they didn't realize was this. He is the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. And that one day, they will bow down before him and acknowledge, Thou art Lord. Oh, they took the blessed Son of God and they dragged him from that place and they put upon him a cross. And around his neck they put a placard. And on that placard would be his name. Because that's what they did with the criminals there. They put a name and then they put the crime. And his crime was, he was claiming to be the King of the Jews. And that's what Pilate put on Jesus Christ. King. This is Jesus, verse 37, the King of the Jews. And as he walked through the streets with us around his neck, the placard, and carrying the cross. And then they would take that placard and they would put it up above his head on the cross. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Yes, there they crucified him. Oh, they took off the military cloak and they put on his garments again until they got to Calvary. And then when they got to Calvary, friend, they stripped him. And what they did was they threw the offender down upon the piece of wood. Oh, they didn't gently put him there. No, they threw him down. And the soldiers would take those clubs and they would take the nails and they would drive it through his hands. For the Bible says, they nailed my hands. They nailed my hands. Then they would lift him up. They would set that wood, that tree, down into its socket and pull the the sinews and the body of Christ. And then they would nail his feet. On the cross. Ever thought of the agony? Pain. The suffering that our Savior went through. And yet, friend, I wonder, you listen, it says, and they crucified him. Him. Who were they crucifying? That reminds you of the him that they crucified. Oh, the majesty. Oh, the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. He was great in his birth. Cradled in a manger. And then the heavens hung out the very brightest star to mark the place of his birth. The angel choirs sent their singers to sing. And wise men came to wonder and worship. And shepherds came to look. To love. He is great in his name, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the very name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. That is the hymn. He is great in his nature. So human that he stood one day at the side of the grave of Lazarus and says two words. Jesus wept. So human and yet so divine. That he could say with that voice that made the worlds leap into existence, Lazarus, come forth. He was great in his nature. He was great in his power. He had only to speak and the devils had to obey him. He had only to speak and disease was gone. He had only to speak and death was conquered. Yes, he's great in his power. He's great in his influence. He lived 33 years and done more than all the philosophers of the ages to make manhood strong and womanhood beautiful. And he's great in his message. For never man spake like this man. He said, come unto me. He said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And yet the Holy Ghost records Calvary with these words. And they crucified him. I thought about the pain of our Savior. The pain before the cross. Do you remember he gathered in the upper room with his disciples? And as he gathered with his disciples, the Bible says he was exceeding sorrowful. Why was the Savior sorrowful? Because he told them there in that upper room that one would betray him. And then, of course, Peter, he denied him. And then when he went to the cross, they mocked him. They nailed him. They crucified him. Some sat down, it says there in that verse, verse 36, and sitting down, some watched him there. And then others, it says in verse 39, and they that passed by, yes, some sat and watched him, others just passed by. They wagged their heads. They wagged their heads. The chief priests and scribes, they taunted him. The thieves cast the same in his teeth. The soldiers had crucified him. And yet there standing at the cross was a little band of people. It was Mary. And there was John. Just a little band of people at the cross. And his mother's sister. And Mary, the wife of Cleophas, that we talked about at the Lord's table. And Mary Magdalene. They still loved him. And standing in the distance was Peter. With a broken heart, he denied him. But friends, let me tell you, all that suffering was nothing to what happened in the darkness. Verse 45. And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The agony of the Father's withdrawal. But he endured it all because he loved me. And that brings me to the last thought. We have the place with the pain, with the purchase. Because as the Lord Jesus breathed his last breath, he cried out these words, it is finished. And the word in the original is one word, done. A word of victory. For in his death, salvation and redemption had been secured for all who place their trust in him. And there on the cross of Calvary, God's Son satisfied the demands of God's justice for sin. And he paid the debt that he did not owe. And I owed the debt that I could not pay. But thank God he took the place of the guilty before the judgment bar of God Almighty. And he secured redemption. For his blood bought people. And were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bare our sins. Our sins. That's the purchase. He bought you and me at Calvary. I read a story this week about a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. And the doctor emphasized that and explained that she had the same disease that he had, and the little boy had recovered 2 years before that from his disease. The doctor told the little boy, the little brother, that his sister's only chance of survival was by... a donorship of blood which only he could give. Someone who had previously conquered the disease. And the two children had the same rare blood disease and the same rare blood type. And therefore, he was the ideal donor. The surgeon turned to the boy and he said to him, "Son, would you give your blood to Mary?" The little boy's lower lip trembled for a moment, and then with a smile he said, "Yes, sir. Sure, for my sister." The day came whenever the two children were wheeled in, side by side. Mary was pale and thin, and Johnny was robust and healthy. Nobody spoke. Then he looked over to sister just with a little smile. And then as the nurse inserted the needle, for a moment the smile faded in the little boy's face. And with a shaky voice, he turned to the doctor and he said these words, "Doctor, when do I die?" You see, that boy thought that he had to die for to give his sister life. And yet he was willing to say, "Sure, for my sister." Let me tell you, my friend, God's son had to die. You and me. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. And there at the cross of Calvary, friend, hung heaven's greatest treasure. And there on the cross of Calvary was history's greatest transaction. For he bought my soul through his blood on Calvary. And they crucified him for you. Yes, for you and me. Let me ask you a question. What does the cross mean to you, my friend? It means everything to me. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy. Every day. Let's pray. As we're bowed before God in prayer tonight, and the meeting will be over in a moment, I ask you a simple question. What about your soul? Have you a living, lasting relationship with Jesus Christ, friend? Do you know the Lord? Or do you read about and hear about the story of the cross, but to you it's simply just a story? What does the cross really mean to you? Have you bowed the knee? Have you taken your place as a guilty, lost, ill-deserving, hell-deserving sinner? Have you received Him by faith as your Savior? If not, will you come to Him? Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let's sing that, the words of that little verse. And if there's someone here tonight and you're not saved, friend, and up to this night you've turned your back on the Son of God, oh, you haven't declared like those of old, crucify Him, crucify Him. But that's how you've lived. You've lived without the Lord as if Jesus Christ had never died and Jesus Christ had never shed His blood for you. Will you come to Him tonight and take your place as a sinner and receive Him, the one that was crucified, the one who died that you might be forgiven? He died to make you good, that you might go at last to heaven, saved through His precious blood. And if there's one tonight in this service, father, mother, son, or daughter, and you say, preacher, I'd love to know Jesus as my Savior, as their backslider, and you say, I want to be restored, thank God, if you confess your sin, He's faithful, He's just to forgive your sin. And His blood will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And as we sing this little verse, dear anxious soul, would you indicate that desire to be saved or restored? Slip that hand above your head as we sing it, indicating that desire. Lead me. Lead me to Jesus. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. Dear sinners, you travel through time to God's eternity. As you pass by the cross tonight, will you not stop? You know, by faith, come to Him. Is there one tonight, father, mother, son, or daughter? Say, Lord Jesus, I've come. I come. Heavenly Father, give deciding grace. Let not men and women go away without You. Let them not die in their sin, passing by without a care the cross of Calvary on their way to hell. Sitting down, watching the scene, interested, but not saved. Oh God, save them. Open their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.